And now we're happy to welcome to the pulpit Irene Jung, who is one of our young souls here in our congregation. Irene will read the scripture lesson for us.
Today's Old Testament lesson is from Nehemiah chapter 4, verses 1 through 6. When Sambalay heard that we were rebuilding the wall, he became angry and was greatly incensed. He ridiculed the Jews, and in the presence of his associates in the army of Samaria, he said, "What are those feeble Jews doing? Will they restore their wall? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they finish in a day? Can they bring the stones back to life from those heaps of rubble, burned as they are?" Tobiah the Ammonite, who was at his side, said, "What they are building, even a fox climbing up on it would break down their wall of stones. Hear us, our God, for we are despised. Turn their insults back on their own heads. Give them over as plunder in the land of captivity. Do not cover up their guilt or blot out their sins from your sight, for they have thrown insults in the face of the builders." So we rebuilt the wall till all of it reached half its height, for the people worked with all their heart. This is the word of God. Thanks be to God.
Thank you, Irene. Once a man was in his front door on a Saturday morning, struggling with a washing machine that had gotten stuck right in the door frame. He was trying to adjust and move it when his neighbor came along and looked up and said, "Do you need some help there?" And the owner said, "Yeah." So one on one side inside the door, one on the outside, they start struggling with the washing machine, trying to get it unstuck in the door frame. They couldn't do it. It just didn't work. Finally, the neighbor who had come by said, "You know, we may never get this thing out." And the owner said, "Wait a minute, I'm trying to get it in." Well, it sure helps to be on the same page. We're thinking today about unity, being on the same page. We're doing so as a part of a series called Building Together. And we're thinking about this theme now because, as we've noted in the last 2 weeks in worship, Trinity Church, and truthfully, every church in America to some degree, is facing the incredible new challenge of rebuilding ministry, of reimagining mission, of reinstigating programs and activities, of relearning things. Yes, there's a rebuilding that we right here are right now in the midst of. So our sermon series is thinking about this rebuilding process, and we're doing so through the lens of one of the great rebuilders of the Bible, Nehemiah. Last week and the week before, you may recall, we've talked about how Nehemiah in Persia, current day Iraq, about 450 BC, heard from his brother who had visited Jerusalem some 900 miles away that the walls of Jerusalem had never been rebuilt. They had been torn down years before, almost 90 years before, through the attack of enemies. The temple had been rebuilt, but not the walls, to give security. And without walls, there is no security in the biblical world. God gives Nehemiah a vision. The vision to go back to Jerusalem and to rebuild the walls. He asked his boss, the king, if he can go. The boss says yes, makes it possible. And Nehemiah walks for 3 months, 900 miles, to go back to Jerusalem. Last week in the story, we were at the point where once back, Nehemiah has called together the leaders and many, many of the families of Jerusalem, and they had begun the process of rebuilding the wall. You may recall, each family had a section to rebuild. Take a look at some pictures of what currently and archaeologically this may have looked like. We're talking about walls that were 39 feet high, 2.5 miles around Jerusalem, and get this, 8 feet thick. This isn't your backyard fence with your neighbor. A huge project. So today we find Nehemiah and these families working on rebuilding this wall. And as Irene read a moment ago, as they're working, along come two guys, Sanballat and Tobiah. Each of them are leaders of a tribe or a group or a small community of other people living nearby, and they're enemies of the Jews. Sanballat is the first in the account to speak to Nehemiah, and he speaks to him with great anger, and he speaks to him with ridicule and telling him, "You'll never build this wall. Why are you even trying? You're not going to do this." He insults him, he intimidates him, he mocks him. It's never going to happen. Tobiah comes along and also gets in on the insult game. He gives that fascinating insult. "Even if a fox crawled up on your wall, it would fall down." So Nehemiah is mocked. All the people working with him are insulted, and they receive this ridicule. So let's take a look at what happened in response to that criticism, to that mocking, to that ridicule. The very first thing to note is that Nehemiah ignored the opposition. There's nothing in the text that says Nehemiah got all upset and started debating with Sanballat and Tobiah. Not at all. He ignores the insults, the ridicule. Always when people are trying to do something big and good, there's going to be criticism. Whether you're trying to build something at work in your challenge and in your work situation, whether you're trying to build something in a community, whether you're working to build something on a team, wherever it is, in your family, there's always going to be somebody to say, "That's never going to work. That's not possible." In the church, there's always someone, when we try to rebuild something, who says, "Nah, that won't work." There's always some opposition. That seems to be just human nature, but it's unfortunate. Edgar Guest wrote a wonderful poem. We used a part of it a few weeks ago. It's called "It Couldn't Be Done." Here's the third verse of that poem. Guest wrote, "There are thousands to tell you it cannot be done. There are thousands to prophesy failure. There are thousands to point out to you one by one the dangers that wait to assail you. But just buckle in with a bit of a grin. Just take off your coat and go to it. Just start in to sing as you tackle the thing that cannot be done, and you'll do it." Nehemiah ignored the opposition. It is so important whenever we are building something, when someone or some force criticizes or tries to pull us down, that we simply not engage, just move on. One of my mentors growing up was a pastor by the name of Reverend Bob Grant. He was a pastor in a large church many, many years ago, and he tells this story. He had just gotten there as a new pastor, and as he should, as new pastors do, he had begun initiating some new ideas and some new ministries. And after about a year, he realized there was one man who was opposed to anything and everything that Bob tried to do. So much so that Bob said to me, "This man sits in the front pew of the church every Sunday, shaking his head side to side, as if to say, no, no, no." When I heard that, I was a young pastor, I was appalled. And it is appalling, quite frankly. But I said, "Bob, what did you do? What did you do?" And he said, "I just kept on preaching week after week." That's how you build. When there's opposition, you move past it and you go beyond it. Moses had his Pharaoh as opposition. Jesus had his Pharisees. Paul had the Romans. Nehemiah had Sanballat and Tobiah. There's always going to be someone who's going to say, no, it's not possible. You shouldn't do it. You're foolish. Nehemiah teaches us, ignore the opposition, just move on. And that leads to the second thing of how he moved on. Some of the favorite words of mine in the Bible are right here. Because Nehemiah, in a spirit that we all should embrace everywhere in our lives, Nehemiah writes, so we rebuilt the wall. He just went on with the task. We rebuilt the wall. He stayed unified with all of the people because he didn't say, so I built the wall. When we're about the work of God, it is always we, because everyone is needed. We rebuilt the wall. And as every coach has ever known of any sports team, the only way to be successful is to have a team where everyone says we. As famously it is written, there is no I in the word team. One of the greatest sins of the church throughout history is its division. God forgive us, but history, ancient and recent, very often reveal that Christians in the church seem to just so enjoy criticizing and ridiculing each other. Our petty differences become theological wars. Perhaps you have known of people who criticize because this church does it this way, or that church doesn't do this, or theologically they're not the way we are, so they're wrong. On and on. God forgive us. May I never be one of those who criticizes or judges any other brothers or sisters or churches in Christ, because we are we. And the only way we build the kingdom of God is together, staying together. And that's what Nehemiah did. He kept them unified. It's no wonder that Jesus' final prayer, knowing the tendency of the human heart, his final prayer, folks, was, may they be one. May they be one. May my followers be unified. And that is how you build. Once in the Midwest, there was a horse pulling contest. At one of the great state fairs out in the Midwest one year, the contest was to see how much a horse could pull, and whoever pulled the most won. You know, one of those Midwestern things, I guess. So one horse, they hitched up and realized this horse could pull 4,800 pounds. They hitched up another horse, 4,900 pounds. And these were the first and second place winners. Then someone had an idea. What would happen if we put these two horses together? How much could they pull together? The two horses together, instead of pulling 48 and 49, a little under 10,000, pulled over 11,000 pounds. Because together they could do so much more than they could do individually. That's how the church builds, always and everywhere. That's how you build a family, unity. That's how you build anything. Nehemiah kept them unified. And then the third thing is that he kept focus. They kept building together, but they kept focus on what they were doing. The passage right after he says, so we built the wall, has a line that I also truly love. He said, one version puts it, the people had a mind to work. Another version says, people worked with enthusiasm. With enthusiasm. Do you know what the word enthusiasm means? This is important. The word enthusiasm comes from two words, en or in, theos, God. The word enthusiasm at its soul and heart implies that those with enthusiasm have the Spirit of God within them. And that Spirit is what enabled the Jewish people to rebuild the wall. They stayed focused. And Nehemiah, as the leader, kept reminding them of the great work they were about. That they were building for the holy city, the center of faith. That they were building to protect the great temple. That they were building to protect human lives. Keeping the focus on the importance of what they were doing. And so, the people worked enthusiastically. Sanballat, at one point in chapter 6, says this to Nehemiah. He sends a message, because Nehemiah is up on the wall, remember, 30 feet, about half that, about 20 feet high. So a message comes to Nehemiah from Sanballat, this guy who's been ridiculing. And Sanballat says this, come on down, let's meet, let's talk. Nehemiah's response in chapter 6 is, I'm engaged in a great work. I can't come down. Why should I stop working to come and talk to you? I am engaged in a great work. He kept his focus. Years ago, when we were building Star Hall, that great project which now we so take for granted, but it was not here at one point, classrooms, chapel, parking lot, not at all. Right in the middle of it, a parishioner came to us and said, I want to sell the church a piece of property right here on Main Street, down the street. Now, it wasn't a great piece of property, but the price, wow, the price was great. I took this man's offer to a couple of leaders, and one man said this, and I'll always remember and honor what he said in his response. He said, it sounds good, but we cannot do it, because if we take on that project, it will divide our current efforts to build Star Hall. And we need to stay focused on that. And that turned out to be true. Staying focused on the task at hand of building your family, building your job, your career, your work, keeps you moving forward, staying focused, not getting divided. Once a man came across a work crew at a big work site. He didn't know what was going on. He was a tourist. And he saw some men working. He just wondered what was going on. He went over to one man. They seemed to be cutting stone. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm cutting stone. Walked around a little bit. He found another man. He said, what are you doing? He said, I'm working on the foundation. Found a third man a little bit further along. He says, so what are you doing? He said, I'm building a cathedral. And that's the difference. Friends, the focus of Trinity Church is on rebuilding, renewing, reassessing, recreating ministry and mission in this COVID and post-COVID season. And we keep focus on what God wants us to do, because this is a great work. This is for the kingdom of God. This matters far more than much of what we spend our time, energy, and money on. It matters. It is a great work, so we stay focused. Once in Africa, in a little village, a 6-year-old girl wandered away. And her parents, obviously, immediately, were terribly distressed. They ran out into the nearby field, a huge acres and acres field of tall African jungle grass, about 4 or 5 feet high. They ran around calling her name to no avail. She seemed lost. But then, someone in the village said, everyone come together. Let us make a long line at the beginning, at the edge of the field. Everyone join hands, and we shall walk side by side through all of the field. And it was that act that led to her safe recovery. Friends, at Trinity, we join hands and we join hearts with what is before us. A great work as we rebuild and reimagine how to do ministry in this new and unfolding season. We keep focus. We stay together. We ignore any opposition and we do the work of God because that is what the church is for. Let's pray. Lord God, once again, with gratitude, we acknowledge that you've brought us here. The church is your creation, Lord. And so we're here at your invitation. God, it's a strange time for us still, and perhaps for a while. So help us to stay focused as a church. Help us to join hands and hearts in the great work of detail, in moving forward with children, with youth, with adults, with seniors, with everyone. And God, help us to know that because this is your church, if we trust you and follow you, all will be well. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. Amen.